All right, welcome, sisters, to our next transmission call. And I'm just going to mute us all real quick so we have a clear line. There we go. Okay, so this is our transmission call for our September gathering, or for our, yeah, our September theme is the full moon. And this theme, what we're going to be talking about today, is what to do when your emotions are running high, and how you show up when you feel like a mess. And the answer is all in the release, which is what we're going to be teaching you, how to work with your emotions instead of hiding them or holding them in. This is a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, where we get to talk about emotions and vulnerability. And then, as you know, then in 2 weeks we'll have the ritual call and our circle outline that will be related to doing a full moon ceremony, full moon gathering. So with that, we'll ring our bell to cast our circle. So just taking a moment to feel the energy weaving from heart to heart of all the women in our tribe. And imagine us all sitting in virtual circle together, creating this sacred space. So let's all collectively take a deep breath in. And imagining your heart opening, and with your exhale, allowing yourself to fall into our circle. And so thank you, those of you who are here live with us, and let's call in the presence of all of our sisters who are not live on the call today. And if you're not here, know that we are holding you and making space for you, and we hope you enjoy the recording. So let me pass it over to Charlene for a short opening meditation to bring our presence forward.
Thank you, Tanya. Okay, ladies, so just getting yourself comfortable and allowing your eyes to close and taking a deep breath in all the way down into your belly. And feel yourself beginning to go inwards and just bringing your awareness to your body. Noticing what's happening there for you. And maybe if you need to stretch or move any part of your body, just allowing yourself to move in a way that feels good to you. And any tension that you notice, bringing full attention to that area. And breathing in, and on the out breath, sending a message to relax. And now noticing any thoughts that you have, and allowing them all to be there. And again, taking a deep breath in. And on the out breath, with the intention of just letting all your thoughts go and giving yourself full permission to be here in this virtual circle and space today. Just dropping your attention down into your heart. And if it helps, you can place one hand over your heart. Feeling into this loving, compassionate space. And taking a breath in here. And on the out breath, feel your heart opening. And when you're ready, opening your eyes and coming back into the space. As I hand you over to Mary, who's going to take us through our call today.
Inquiry. So I just want to make sure that everybody's got a pen and paper. So everybody's got? Yeah? Okay, great. And also, I just want to apologize for doing this transmission totally jet lagged. It wasn't planned that way. I'm supposed to still be in Thailand. My mother's not well, so we had to kind of rush back, hence me being here in Australia for 12 hours. So I'm a little bit jet lagged. So if you can all breathe in and hold a bit of space for me, I will breathe in and hold total space for all of you. Okay, so the full moon is a time of real high energy, and I'm sure we're all experiencing that at the moment as we've just been through a full moon. It's really the peak time of the lunar cycle, which is a 28-day cycle. So the energy is very powerful, but also very intense for many people. It is an orgasmic energy that's really wild for movement. It's dynamic, it's that strong urge to create, to shift, to bring things into action and to release. There's a lot of sexual arousal that occurs around the full moon, and the energy is strongest at this point, at this time. And that sexual arousal, that sexual need, sexual energy, this is the time when it really needs to be released, whether it's through lovemaking or released through creative projects. So this powerful surge of energy propels us to take action. So especially in regards to the new moon intentions that you might have made 2 weeks prior. So when you're working in circles, especially if you're doing fortnightly circles, it's really good to track that. So if you do a circle in the new moon and you're bringing intentions into your circle, it's really good to revisit it in the full moon and see what's, you know, because this is the time to take action into those new moon intentions. So it's really good to kind of weave those two in if you're doing those fortnightly circles. Or also if you're simply tracking your lunar cycles on your own, this is the time to really look into that action, to look into what you're bringing into your life in relation to those new moon intentions. So this is the time when the moon, the goddess, is at her fullest. She's in her fullness and she is complete at this very moment. So we can actually start to birth those intentions. We can celebrate, we express our gratitude, our passion, and our unique journey in life. And this period of the full moon, that energy, that full energy, really lasts about 3 days before and 3 days after the full moon. So you don't have to actually sit in it. You know, if you miss out on that full moon on the day, you've still got those 3 days on either side where that energy will be presenting itself. So the other aspect of the full moon is the emotions. And emotions are essentially energy in motion. They are energy that are wanting to move and be expressed. And as they move and flow, we then experience our feelings. And I'm talking about happiness, sadness, surprise, anger, fear, jealousy, disgust, whatever it is. So when we're talking about full moon energy, we have to bring in the emotions. Emotionally, the energy in the full moon period is pretty wired. It's intense as the full moon brings events and emotions to that peak, to that climax. So in the full moon energy, people can get a little bit worked up. They can feel out of control of their moods or even feel a little bit crazy as emotions rise to the peak, which, as we know, is a good thing because we can actually deal with them, but not if these emotions take over, when we start to feel like a lunatic. And that's where the word lunatic comes from. When we start to react without any awareness. And research has shown that in the full moon period, there's a noticeable effect on our sleep patterns and in hospitals. And especially, I have a friend who's a psych nurse, and she says that in the psych ward on a full moon, they are kept up all night. People really do tip over the edge. So, and research has shown that hundreds more women do actually go and seek guidance around the full moon phase than at any other time of the month. So, you know, we're talking about stuff that has been clinically proved. So we can actually lose the potentiality of this full moon's creative and active energy and celebration of the full moon when we are feeling like a mess, when we're drowning in intense emotion, heightened activity of our mind, which is another trigger of the full moon energy. And when we get lost in overwhelm, even in manic behavior. So when we are totally entangled in these emotions and we don't have any understanding or awareness of what's happening, we cannot use the powerful energy of this full moon energy, which is a nervous energy. We totally lose the potentiality of this to direct it into creative expression or even sexual expression. Thus, we lose its full capacity. So the full moon is also, when we're talking emotionally, it's really a great time for releasing something that's no longer serving us, or simply letting go of something that you no longer need in your life. And it's also a great opportunity to let go of an aspect of ourselves that's outgrown. And this is why unresolved, unheard, unacknowledged emotions can get caught up in that vortex of the full moon, of this powerful releasing energy, and it rises up because it's asking to be heard, to be released, to be healed, to be balanced. And its need is so powerful that it connects with that vortex of the full moon. And for some of us, this vortex that our emotions get caught up in can just come out as an explosion, as rage, as erratic energy, flying off the handle, crying at any minor, you know, annoyance that normally wouldn't affect you to that degree. A vulnerability that just overwhelms us, depression, sadness, exhaustion. And all of this can leave women feeling really quite uneasy because we've been conditioned to suppress outbursts of emotions such as fear and anger, even explosions of happiness. And therefore, we don't know how to handle it. And therefore, we're left feeling shameful and guilt and confused. But these unresolved emotions that rise and show themselves around the full moon can actually help us to birth change by first, and this is really key, by first learning to bring conscious awareness to the thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors that are around these emotions. And this helps us to start to respond from essence, which is our true self, rather than reacting from overwhelm and unconscious behavior, especially in that volatile full moon time. So what I'm talking about here is starting to bring conscious awareness to all of this stuff that's starting to happen. So it really makes sense to start to become intimate with your emotions so that you can be prepared, you can be grounded and equipped and read the signs before the intensity of the full moon. Before that energy hits you, and because when it hits you in that full moon intensity, it's simply difficult, if not impossible, to see clearly of what's happening because you're stuck in there right at that point. And it's really difficult to remain calm and come from source and to articulate what's happening. Because the full moon is really a time of heightened feelings, it's just not a good time to make major decisions. It's not the time to try and untangle your overwhelmness because they're just going to be colored and drowning in all that emotional debris, which is why I'm talking about bringing that awareness in before it happens. And also, the full moon is the time when we're talking about goddess spirituality. The full moon is represented by the goddess in her mother aspect. So we have the maiden, we have the mother, and we have the crone. So it's about the full moon is the time when we are focusing on the mother goddess, which are the goddesses such as Ceridwen, Isis, Aphrodite, Demeter. And if we're looking at the tarot card, we're looking at the Empress card or the Strength card. Because it's at this time that the goddess is pregnant with ideas. She's highly sensuous and she's luxurious at the height of her creative and sexual power. And her mantra in the full moon is, all acts of love and pleasure are my rituals. So we can go back and even look at that month that we did our Aphrodite sadhana. That was very full moon energy that we were working with. And it's really, I felt it was really important to mention this as when we're talking about emotions, because the mother goddess represents the fullness of life. So she is, and she's, as I said, represented by the fullness of the full moon energy. But she teaches us, what she's teaching us in full moon time is to accept responsibility and to understand the consequences of our actions. And she's there in the full moon energy to guide us towards self-discipline, patience, so that we can grow spiritually into balanced adulthood. That's what she's mothering us, holding space for us. Her universal law is one of balance through self-understanding, self-care, self-discipline and self-responsibility. So I personally love the full moon energy, and I usually refer full moon energy not just at the full moon time of the month. I just refer full moon energy at any time in my life where there's a lot of tension and I feel like it's coming to the peak. When I'm feeling an emotional mess, or when I'm feeling even emotionally distant and withdrawn. So I usually refer that as my full moon energy time. And it's at these times that I call onto the mother goddess. And I feel her love at that time. Just like any mother, she wants the very best for me. And so she's gently whispering to me, reminding me to come back to reality, to come back to balance, to self-awareness and self-care. Therefore, coming back to true source. So rather than falling into the belief that I'm a victim to my emotions and to my feelings, I have choice. And I'm being held by the mother, and my emotional imbalance or discomfort is simply the mother speaking to me, guiding to me, reminding me to come back to self. So that I begin to witness what is happening with total conscious awareness. So when we bring awareness to what triggers us into emotional overwhelm, into that overly sensitive, overly defensive, or even aggressive state. So therefore, what tips us over the edge emotionally? When we bring awareness to how this affects our thoughts, our attitudes, our bodies, and our behavior, we can actually begin to make huge changes by catching the signs. So that we are now catching the signs that we are now teaching ourselves to become aware of, that are arising within us. So when we catch these signs in the present moment, as it's happening, it really enables us to start to challenge our thinking, to challenge our feelings, and to challenge our behavior. So we start to bring awareness to what is happening to us, and therefore we can start to decide from a rational state, therefore from self, what is the best action to take, but also to give ourselves compassion as to what is happening for us, rather than to come from a place of shaming ourselves because we just don't understand what's happening. So therefore we start to take responsibility for our emotional well-being, our emotional life, and this gives us choices rather than falling into overwhelm and getting stuck into our old patterns, our old conditioning, which really at this point is not serving us. So I've made up a set of questions today, which is a process that I use that goes into a far deeper process where we eventually start looking at our core wounds, our exiles and our protectors. But for the sake of today, I've created a pattern of questions that will put you on the journey of self-inquiry and self-awareness into your emotions. So before we get into that, I just wanted to give you an example so that you can understand where it's coming from. So when we begin this process, we look at our triggers. What are the triggers that make me unreasonably oversensitive or can really tip me over the edge in emotions? So for example, one of my triggers is when I've been working on the computer all day. So my workaholism kicks in and I just get stuck in my head. That's my trigger, right? So the pattern that manifests out of that trigger is I don't eat, I don't rest, I don't stop, I withdraw, I become rigid, I don't want to be interrupted, and only I matter. The whole world revolves around me. Yeah? So the inner bitch starts to come out. So that's the pattern. And where I feel this in my body and how it feels is that I feel it in my head. I start to get foggy, that I only matter is all that's going on in here. So I almost become manic. And the name, when I breathe into my body and ask this feeling in my body, what it's feeling, what its name is, the name that comes up is frustration. Frustration because I feel like I'm so fucking not good enough. I've got to be on this computer all day. Frustration because I have this perfection mode in me. But the other name that comes up is irritation. Irritation because I really want to do yoga, I really want to go for a walk, but I don't have time. And the other name that I get is victim. Oh, woe is me, I just don't have time. The attitudes and behaviors towards myself and others is that the attitudes to everyone else is everyone's getting in my way. Just leave me alone. I just need to work. So the behavior that arises out of that is that I get irritated every time Rajiv comes for a hug or he wants to talk. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone. I haven't got time. So my inner patriarch starts to rise. And therefore, I start to undermine feminine practices. Yeah, because I'm in the patriarch. The feminine practices of yoga, walking, creativity, they're just gone. And my attitude to life is hard. Life is exhausting. So how do I use this to help me? When I'm feeling tired, irritable, frustrated, when anything Rajiv says just is not right and I get really bitchy, it's a trigger. It's an alarm bell. Okay, Mary, what's happening? Go back and see what your trigger is. What have you been doing today? Okay, I've been on the computer all day. And also the thing is that when I'm getting irritated, when I'm getting out of control, that's a trigger that I'm no longer in source. I'm no longer in self. I am now in trigger mode. Straight away, when we become unreasonable, when we become oversensitive, it's a trigger. I'm no longer in source. So I need to bring awareness here. Something's happening. So as I said, my trigger is, okay, what have I been doing? I've been on the computer all day. Another trigger is I don't set boundaries. So maybe I've been giving to too many people. But it's bringing awareness to what's been happening in my life. I look at these triggers and then I look at the patterns, the attitudes that's happening in my life, and therefore I have choice now to do something about it. Yeah? It's my responsibility. So once you start to become comfortable with this type of work, you can actually then start going into your emotional core wounds, as I said, and start going even deeper. But for today, we're just going to stop at this. And this is enough to really start bringing you back to awareness. But I just want to also add that this has taken me a long time, this practice to become intimate with my own emotions, my own wounding, my own exiles and protectors, and to work with essence. So now I've learned to work with the overwhelm and with source. And it's really taught me to learn to start to channel nervous energy into projects or physical activities, which enables me to really channel in this amazing full moon energy rather than to get swamped in it. So then we can take this lunacy, and I love that word, we can take this lunacy and we can reclaim the full moon powerful energy for creating, manifesting, accomplishing, for turning ideas into realities, rather than putting the energy into emotional overwhelm. So I'm gonna now hand you over to Tanya and she's gonna explain a little bit more.
Thanks, Mary. This is so big because I think this is where we have really shut ourselves down is with our emotions, and especially when our emotions feel really intense. So if you could actually think back to when you were a child, and I'm very present to this with a toddler, right, who is completely run by her emotions and is completely hijacked, it completely overwhelms our entire system. You know, our nervous system literally gets hijacked and gets fried when we have these emotional, when we're completely taken over by our emotions when we're 2 to 3 years old. And it's so we've been conditioned, right? So when we were little kids, if we felt completely overwhelmed by our emotions, we've been conditioned when we're adults that we're literally going to be hijacked again, right? And then we're completely taken out of our game. We're a mess, and God forbid in our culture that we be a mess, right? So our culture has taught us to, our conditioning from when we were a child. So from the instinctual point of view, we don't want to get to that place where it literally feels like we're going to die and we're going to be hijacked. And then from a societal point of view, you know, we don't want to go into these emotions because then we're going to be a mess. So what do? We suppress, we shut down, we numb out, we do all these things, and we don't actually allow ourselves to feel our emotions. But when we look at the feminine is all about emotions. The feminine emotes. So this is so key for us. I can't say this, like, it's just, to me, one of the most important things for us as women to do is to tap into our emotions, especially the intensity of our emotions. Because the more that we can feel the emotions we don't want to feel, which is the sadness, the anger, the more that we can actually feel those way over here, that gives us greater capacity to feel the great high emotions of happiness and joy, right? So the more that we can expand and allow ourselves to feel these things, the more our capacity expands and the less that we feel overwhelmed. So if you're someone who is constantly feeling overwhelmed, feeling like you don't have time or you know, feeling like you're being hijacked and all these things, the key is in getting in touch with your emotions. Helps us to expand our capacity to hold more and to be with more. So we're actually going to have you go through the process that Mary just did. Before I do that, I have a handout that we'll send to you and we'll have as part of the post that includes the recording. And this is called The Core Messages of Emotions. Liana Silver put this together with one of her mentors, Carla Camus. And it actually talks about what is the message of each emotion. So I'm going to plug this into the chat box because I just find this to be so interesting. And maybe this can help you as you're going through the process that Mary just went through. We're going to write that down and I'm going to guide you through it. Okay, so let's see, chat. Here it is. Okay, so I'll read through this really quick. Fear, if you're feeling fear, the message of fear could be that there's potential danger. Anger, something that you value is being threatened. So whenever you're experiencing anger, you can think about, well, what's the value that I hold near to my heart, right? What do I really value? So if you're valuing truth and someone's lying, then you might get angry. So by looking at these in this way, you can really start to dig into what the triggers are, as Mary was sharing and we're going to do in a minute. Sadness, something you value got lost. Grief, something you had your whole heart is in or was in is gone. Despair, you think you can't do it. Jealousy, you see something that you want for yourself. This is a great one when it comes to the sisterhood wound, right? Where we get jealous or envious of another woman because she has success. So instead of feeling jealous, you can say, wow, what is it that she has that I want? And how can I cultivate that within myself? Annoyance or disgust, it isn't the way you want it to be. So you can get in touch with, well, how do you want it? What is your desire? Loneliness, you want connection. Depression, the way you have set up your life isn't working. Confidence, so now I'll also weave in some of the good ones here. Confidence, you can do it. Joy, there's something you love that fills you up with life force. Happiness, you like what you're experiencing right now. Gratitude, you're receiving something greater than yourself. Panic, you think it's going to get worse or you can't handle it. So sometimes we might panic if we're actually feeling some of these emotions such as anger, frustration, or grief. Anxiety, it could go wrong or it could be okay. Guilt, something you have done could have or has displeased another. And shame, you feel that something about you or you did is wrong. So something, there's something wrong with you. Okay, so, and those are in the chat box and you'll get the handout if you're listening to the recording. So remember that Mary said the emphasis here is on the word awareness. The more that we are aware and we're digging into what's going on, then we can start to catch the pattern. And that's when we can start to, I don't want to use the word control. It's almost like you have some control over it, because it's not necessarily about control. It's just about being able to flow and allow the emotion to run through you. Remember, emotion is energy in motion. Okay, so let's go through this. So the first question is, and this is where you're going to write this down. So Mary said to bring a paper and pen. What are your triggers that drive you to emotional stress, overwhelm, or mess? I'm going to type this in the chat box. What are the triggers? The more that you can get into real time, better, the better, right? So if you're, if you've been experiencing an emotion intensely this week or last week or last month with the eclipse and all that was going on, think about what was the trigger for that. What's the trigger that drives you to emotional stress, overwhelm, or mess? Here's a couple examples or ideas. Tired and exhausted because you're not slowing down. I think that's one of my biggest triggers. No time for self-nurturing. Feeling emotionally wounded and not expressing your pain to those involved. Feeling overworked, not feeling supported. Feeling unsatisfied. And that could be with your career or relationship, your lifestyle. Feeling isolated. Having physical pain. Your finances. So what's the trigger? If you have multiple triggers, you could write them all down or you could just write down one.
Tanya, can I just add
something? Yep, go ahead.
Okay, Tanya just said if you've got multiple triggers, which we all will have, write them down. But for the next few questions that Tanya's about to ask, would you just focus on the one trigger so you can really be able to dissect it rather than get a bit overwhelmed with too many choices?
Thank you, Mary. Yeah. Yep. Perfect. Okay, so just pick one. Okay, next one. So when you have your one trigger, consider the pattern that you struggle with around this trigger or behavior. What's the pattern that you struggle around? Okay, so here's some ideas. Numbing out with, this could be food, sex, drugs, shopping, getting angry and projecting onto others. Whinging or whining for us Americans. Whining but not doing anything about it, so complaining. Soldiering on, hoping that everyone's gonna love you and accept you and you're toughing it up. Becoming resentful because no one's helping you. So then you might become aggressive and pissed off. Withdrawing, not asking for any help. Making to-do lists, And then procrastinating, becoming irritable, avoiding people, avoiding intimacy and connection, being oversensitive or detached. So I'm very clear that when I'm not slowing down and I'm exhausted and I'm like in the go, go, go mode, I get very irritable and become resentful. So I see that pattern, how that shows up.
And also, Tanya, can I say something to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
When we're looking at this question, we're looking at our behavior. So this aspect is the behavior. So how the trigger affects your behavior. So the behavior becomes a clue. When you're acting this way, it's a sign.
Perfect. Okay, so now everyone got that? Got your behavior? Okay, now close your eyes and imagine that this is happening and imagine that you're being triggered and you're doing this pattern, you're acting out. Where do you feel it in your body? Where do you feel it in your body? And what is it called? You could even ask it what its name is, or what's bubbling up? What is it called? What's the emotion? Is it frustration or is it anger? Is it despair or is it depression or is it grief? Which one?
And when you ask it, I want you to ask it its name. So therefore you say, I am frustration, I am anger, because it's trying to be heard. It's trying to be heard.
Yeah.
So simply asking it, what is your name? And allow what comes up, don't try and analyze it, just allow it to rise.
Okay, now the next step is, if you want to write that down, is to look at the limited beliefs that are associated with this. So asking its name, I am frustration, comes out. Now, what beliefs are associated with that as it relates to others with this pattern? Okay, so for example, so if you were pointing the finger, what would you be saying about people? People are selfish. Nobody cares. People are better off than me. And it might even be about yourself, right? So you might be saying something towards others and towards yourself. So what are the limited beliefs associated with this? And write down any of those beliefs that come up. And then finally, the fifth step is, how does this affect your attitude towards life? What are you saying about life? Life is a struggle. Life is lonely. Life is unfair. Life is heavy. Life is hard. Life is loveless. What are you saying about life? And write down any of those. And so before we move on, we'd love to have one person share, just take us through the five questions and what your answer was. Do we have one person who'd like to share their answers? This is a great opportunity to go through it. LaShonda, got you off mute. Go for it.
Okay. So my trigger is, over the last couple of weeks, especially being tired and exhausted from too many demands from too many different places. And the pattern that I struggle with is just numbing out and so drawn on at the same time. So it's like I just press through, get the work done, meet all the demands, and don't take the time to process how I feel about it or how it affects me or alternate ideas or options or anything. I just soldier on. And then when I ask, what's the name? What is your name? I am overwhelmed. And I don't know if that's technically an emotion, but that's the first thing that came up. It's just this overwhelm, this sense of just everything being out of control and not knowing how to fix it. The limited belief associated with it is life is supposed to be hard. You're supposed to work hard and complain about it. You know, you just go through it. This is how it's supposed to be. And then the view on life, that life is a struggle, that all of life is a struggle.
And what are you saying about, so for number four, it's the beliefs you have around others. What are you saying about the people in your life?
That no one's here for you. You're in this by yourself. You have to do this by yourself. Yeah.
Right. Here you go. Okay, I got you off mute.
The important thing about this question, number four, about what is your attitude to people when you're acting out this, is don't bring in the word you bring in I. Mm-hmm. You were saying, you know, you answered the question in you. So mm-hmm. Could you repeat that answer and say I? Your attitude to
no one's me. There for me.
Okay. Got you.
For example.
So I'm supposed to work hard. My life is supposed to be a struggle and no one is there for me.
No one is there for me. Yeah. And because this is so important when we look at the attitudes that we have to people when this is happening, because we start to see where these attitudes are coming from and how that affects our life. Yeah. And we start to realize that this is actually coming from me. I feel this way about people because I'm going into overwhelm and so it's all about me and how I can start taking authority of my life. So, and when you said about overwhelm, don't question. When you ask the name, honor the, I am overwhelmed. Okay. That's what's needing to be heard from you right now.
Okay. Great. Let's beam with Shonda. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
One thing I'll add, and then Mary's going to take us into the next section, is you can also look at how this relates to your circles, and especially with filling your circle. So if you're feeling frustrated, or you notice that triggers are coming up around your circle, whether it's the women showing up or not showing up, right? You can start to see how so much of it is these limited beliefs that we're putting out there based on these triggers that we're having. So you can always start to see, like a common one is, you know, people are such flakes. The people in my city are such flakes. Is that actually true? Or is that based on the trigger that you're having based on this, this process we just went through? Because you can easily say that the people in San Diego, definitely Southern California, a bunch of flakes, right? We're known for that. But I don't have that actually show up in my space all that often anymore, because I'm clear that that limited belief is just not in my space anymore. Okay? And I don't really have that attitude so much. I call in people of integrity, right? Okay, so Mary is now going to take us through the next part.
And
around conflict.
Thank you, Tanya. And I just want to reiterate what Tanya said. I think it's so important you added that. I've learned so much about my emotions through running circles. So really, really great point. Okay, so when we're talking about emotions and taking total awareness for what's happening for us, we've also got to look at how that shows up in relating with others. So when conflict with others is involved. So I really wanted to add this to bring awareness to what is happening, like literally dissecting what is happening when we're in an argument with someone, so that we can actually learn to step back and own our own behavior. And this is a really hard one. And this is a very, very, very brief summary, but I think it's a really good summary. So basically, we all know that when we're feeling good, when we're grounded in self, it's really so much easier to just shrug off even the most frustrating things that are happening to us. And even to the most frustrating situations or someone says something, sometimes we can actually just deflect it. But when we're in full moon intensity, when we're really wired up in this energy and really sensitive or feeling really vulnerable, we can view even the most enjoyable or flippant thing that's happening as overwhelming, exhausting, hurtful, boring, irritating, whatever. Our emotions just change that whole situation. So the lens in our eyes sees it completely different as to what it would have seen a couple of days ago. And how we express these emotions in the moment can affect our relationships with others, and we can find ourselves in arguments with family, friends, or even strangers. And a good example of that is road rage. I'm sure you have road rage in America as we do in Australia. Yeah. So when conflict arises in human relationships, emotions can really reach a high level. And angry, hurtful feelings are exchanged or projected onto the other person. And during this stage, no one is in the proper mood for constructive problem solving. Yeah, we're all just too wrapped up in our own feelings, and we can't do the kind of thinking that's required for effective problem solving at that point of that full moon intensity, if you like. So when people are angry and upset, these are some of the patterns. This is what they're trying to say. So you're having an argument and really, you're really angry, and what you're really saying is you have to understand how angry or upset I am before I'm even willing to try to solve or even look at this problem that's made me upset. So really, that's what you're basically saying to that person. You have to understand me. You have to understand what's happening. Another one that people go to is they really want to punish the person they're arguing with. Look how angry. Look how upset. Look how distressed you've made me. Now, aren't you sorry? And another reason why people express strong feelings in a conflict is to scare the other person into meeting all their demands. If I show enough anger, if I yell enough, if I yell loud enough, maybe I'll get what I want. And, you know, this is not unlike a child's tantrum. And we all know that the best strategy for a tantrum is to wait for the feelings to dissipate before we can really start to solve anything. So before we can get to that point, a really good strategy is, you know, I think that we're both really upset here to find any resolution. So maybe we should just go away till we both calm down and see how we feel after that. And Rajiv and I have got this strategy really worked out. We've come to an agreement when we're coming into that conflict that one of us finds the power to stand up and say, and we have a word and it's called light. So if Rajiv and I are arguing, he says light or I say light, and that's basically, okay, let's take a breath. We need to go away. We need to calm down and come back. So when people's emotions are running high, we're not going to be able to do active listening. So when we come back, we practice active listening, where we can help to get to some point where we both feel like we're really being heard from the other. So active listening really enables both sides to have their say in a respectful manner, but it also teaches us to listen to others rather than getting swept away in our own story of self-righteousness. And that's, we're not going to get to that point when we're screaming at each other, hence needing to go away. But it also helps us when we're facilitating circles. And for those of us who are running circles, you know what I'm talking about, because facilitating is knowing the art of active listening. And active listening involves listening with all senses. It's pointless saying that you're listening when you're looking around the room, when you're not connecting with eye contact. So it's about giving full attention to the speaker. And it's important that active listening is also seen to be listening. So the person who's talking is seeing that you're listening. So as I said, you're not looking around. You're actually holding eye contact. You're leaning towards the speaker. So you're right there without any distractions. So it's a really good habit, as I'm saying, with your intimate partners to have that little bit of a strategy, which really puts you in that training of active listening, witnessing, coming into source. And I just want to finish on that. You always know that you are in source when you are witnessing rather than reacting. As soon as you go into reaction, you've lost the source. It's about coming back and allowing yourself to explode with actual awareness. And that's a whole other workshop.
I want to add in the resource for those of you who have never heard of nonviolent communication. And I'm putting this in the chat box. CNVC.org. And actually, if you go /learn/resources, this will give you the list, the model of NVC, and then the feelings list and the needs list. And so with that active listening, to be able to help someone identify their feelings and to identify what needs are associated with that, that you can do conflict resolution, whether this is you and a partner or even in a circle. Because I think this is one of the biggest fears that we have around leading a circle, is that we're not equipped, we're not competent enough in the face of any type of conflict. And what happens is that when women get together, there is a very, very high chance that someone's going to get their feelings hurt. And so when women get their feelings hurt, you know, how do we help resolve that? And how do we help women feel seen and heard? And I think that is one of the jobs as a facilitator, is to create that space for women to feel seen and heard, which includes like really understanding what, you know, how are they feeling, and to acknowledge that and to help them to be able to, move through that. So like Mary says, is a lot of times we can't hear anyone else when we're hijacked by an emotion, because it's like, well, I want you to hear me and I want you to understand how I'm feeling. On the flip side, right, as a facilitator, to create that for someone and have them feel like their emotions are validated and that you do understand what they're going through will help to dissipate and help calm them down, so then you can have the conversation. Okay, so we're going to be moving on to the next section, which is my favorite, and that is how to show up as a facilitator or in any situation when you are a mess. Chances are that when you are feeling like a mess, you are ready to hightail it out of there and, like an ostrich, put your head in the sand, right, until it's all over. And this is how, again, we've been conditioned, is that we put on our makeup when we're going out and we put on the happy face and say, I feel fine, even if we don't, right? So God forbid that we show up in a position of leadership when we're feeling like a mess and we don't have our shit together. I believe that this is truly an art form to be able to show up in your messiness, but it is also the foundation of feminine leadership. And it is what Circle is all about, because how can we lead and create the space for vulnerable, intimate sharing amongst people, amongst women, if we're not able to do that ourselves as the leader? It's about leading by example. So how do we show up when we're feeling like a mess? And so we have a 5-step process that we're going to take you through. And the thing is, here's the thing. I'm giving you full permission to show up as a mess because you are a human being. And people want to come to Circle so that they can be human beings and show up just the way they are. So giving yourself permission to show up just the way you are, even if it's not put together, even if it's not perfect, is what's actually going to ripple out and create that permissioning for everyone else, which is ultimately what we're all looking for, right? To be authentic, to be okay just as we are, right? So there's going to be times when you have had a really bad day and you're showing up for Circle and you don't want to be there, right? Or, you're affected by the full moon, right? I mean, it's natural as a woman, and especially if with the way that our cycles go through, right, with our period and full moon, new moon, that we are going to have bad days, and chances are they're going to be when we have to show up to lead. Okay, so here's our 5-step guide. One thing I just want to add is going back to our April transmission and ritual call. And remember, in April, we did the Wise Woman and we talked about our cycles. I think that is something really good to review and to start to understand your cycle and start to move with that to understand, where is your ovulation or your period in relation to the full moon, new moon, and to start to see how you are affected by the moons, by the cycles, right? So just to review that. Okay, here we go. 5-step process when you're feeling like a mess. So step number one is to acknowledge, right? So when we resist or we attempt to block the flow of our emotions, we shut down and suppress our energy, which can show up in a whole multitude of problems. Remember, emotions are energy in motion. So when we block that flow of motion, then we can actually get sick. We can have things show up physically in our body. Those emotions get manifested as pain and suffering physically in the body as one thing that might happen when we suppress, right? So acknowledging what is happening to you, bringing consciousness and awareness, rather than trying to brush it off, brush it under the rug, or deny your feelings and pretend, oh, everything's fine, I'm fine, when actually you're not. So to acknowledge, no, I'm not fine, and this is how I'm feeling. So to actually label and speak out what it is that you're feeling. So I'm feeling really fucking angry right now. or my heart feels broken and I feel so sad, or I feel so lost and confused, or I feel broken and betrayed. So to actually label what's going on so we can begin to feel empathy for ourselves, compassion and empathy for ourselves. Also, not only labeling the emotion, but why? What is driving? What's that trigger? I'm angry because my best friend just humiliated me in front of everyone. Doesn't matter if it's the truth or not, right? Because that's more of our point of view that they humiliated us. She might not have realized that, but don't get caught into that, but to understand, well, what is that trigger? Why am I feeling this emotion? To name it exactly as it feels to you. Okay. Another thing to do is to imagine a mirror of yourself and to talk to that mirror image. So show that mirror image empathy, labeling the emotion and why that emotion is there. So you can say to your mirror, I see that you feel angry right now because XYZ happened to you. So actually looking in the mirror and imagining you're talking to yourself and to give yourself that empathy. Okay, step number two, permission to feel and release. So give yourself permission to feel and embrace and immerse yourself in that emotion, because most of the time, we just need to be able to feel it and express it. So instead of going into thinking or analyzing, right, or creating some kind of story about it, that can take us away from the energy in motion. So by actually allowing ourselves, giving ourselves permission to feel and to let that energy move through us, if that means tears need to come up, perfect. That's part of the release. If that means grabbing a pillow and screaming into it when you're angry, perfect. Let that anger come out through your voice, right? So that can, again, that can be through tears, that can be physically moving, that can be screaming or using the voice, any way to actually move that out of the body, to release it. Know that what's going on for you is okay. You don't have to hide and block it. And that there is nothing wrong with you for having this emotion. And there's always a reason, and you don't need to judge that. One other thing that you can do here to be able to get in touch with that. So a lot of times, because we haven't allowed ourselves to feel, we feel numbness. We don't know what emotion is coming to us. To tune in, to close your eyes and to imagine and to feel it in your body and to locate it in the body. Is it in the heart? Is it in the chest? Is it in the throat? Is it in your stomach? Right? To actually tap into the body and to find out where the emotion lies for you in that moment and to let it come up and to feel it fully. Step three, permission to be vulnerable and to trust. So this is where circle comes into play, right? Where we can actually share what's going on for us. To not keep it all to yourself, because a lot of times we feel embarrassed. We feel shame around these emotions. We feel like something's wrong with us, right? So we don't want to share it with others. Or we feel like we're going to inconvenience someone. We're going to make them feel bad. We don't want to burden anyone with our emotions, right? We don't want to waste anyone's time. All of those things come up for us. But this is huge. For you to actually be open and to share what is going on for you with the people in your life or with your circle. And I say, you know, if you're leading and you're feeling something, chances are people know that you're feeling that. They just can't put their finger on it if you're trying to hide it. But something feels off. And this allows people to become closer to you as your participants and to trust you more. And I don't know how many times this has happened for me. I remember the times when I used to lead and I'd have it all buttoned up, right? And the first time I ever showed up on a call, a leadership call, and was crying, everyone's like, oh, Tanya, we feel so connected to you. you're human. We love you. And I'm like, what? Right? Because it felt so weird to be vulnerable and to share my emotions and to, you know, to display my tears. But that's actually when I learned that people felt more connected and felt like they can trust me more, because they felt like, oh, that's what's really going on. They knew intuitively something was going on. They felt it, right? So to just be real about it, because that's actually what's in the space anyway, energetically. So a lot of times, if you are feeling completely hijacked, and there's been times when I've showed up and felt completely hijacked by an emotion, did not feel like I could facilitate. I'll never forget when my boyfriend broke up with me. I show up at Circle and I was like, I cannot lead. I just got broken up with. And that's okay. I actually led from that place of I can't lead. And it's amazing what happens. People will step up and it will all work out. And what I found is by actually creating that space for myself, we took maybe 10 minutes for them to all hold me and for me to kind of talk about what happened and to cry and to get really upset. And then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I'm ready to do Circle now. Cause I just let that emotion run through me. I let it flow. I released it. And then I could actually facilitate. So the key piece here is to trust that this is showing up and this is happening at this point for a reason, and to just go with it and to see where it's going to lead you. And that's the magic and beauty of Circle, is that the goddess works through our emotions sometimes, right? Because it is part of the feminine. So can we actually trust that? Okay, step 4, allow yourself to be received. This is huge, huge, huge. So when you're suffering, when you're feeling emotional, when you're a mess, you don't have to take care of yourself. You can actually allow others to take care of you. You can allow your circle to hold you. So allow yourself to be received in your vulnerability, in your messiness. And a lot of times when we fall apart is when we truly find ourselves. And so to just allow yourself to be received by the women in your circle, allow them to hold you and to listen to you. And this will help you find a new level of empathy and compassion for yourself and for others. The more that we have compassion for ourselves, the more we can actually have compassion for others. Mm. And then last piece here, and then we're actually going to do some sharing, is step 5 is to seek additional support. So if you've been really wounded, you've been really hurt, you're really having a hard time moving through this, you don't have to do it by yourself. And so much of our growth and healing happens when we reach out and we admit that we don't have it all together and we don't have all the answers. So to ask for that support. So this might be professional help, or this might just be a friend or loved one, or it might be to actually ask for that support in your circle. Even though you're the leader, you can still receive. And that's a beautiful thing when we can learn not only how to give as a circle leader, but to also receive. Mary, anything you want to add to that before we do the dyads?
Just very quickly, when I started the circle today, I didn't know whether to tell people. My mother's not well. I've got jet lag. And I thought, you know, I can't run this circle if I'm not intimate with everybody here. And that intimacy is just to say it as it is. So I think that's a really good example of what Tanya's saying. Here I am, jet lag, my mum's dying, but I'm here. And then I felt myself drop into the circle. And I felt connected to everyone. If I didn't express that, this would have been a very difficult circle to do.
Thanks, Mary. Okay, handing it over to Charlene, who's going to lead us through the dyads. You ready, Charlene?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Okay, so we've got a couple of questions for each of you. We're going to get you into paired chairs now. So the questions we've got is, what is your current way of dealing with your emotions? What feels challenging for you? And what have you learned about your triggers So on today's call, what are you taking away from this? So I'm going to post those into the chat box. And Tanya, we'll put you all into dyads. If anyone has any problems when you're in your breakout room, then you can just raise your hand or just come back into the main room and we'll get you sorted out. So those are they. Okay. Yeah, I see Snow's put a question about time and I realise we are kind of at time now. The dyads will take, we'll do two minutes each for these. It's not long. The questions are in the chat box. So I imagine we'll probably need about 5-6 minutes more.
Yeah. So yeah. We'll do, yeah, another 5 minutes and then we'll have 10 minutes of Q&A. So we'll wrap up by 2:30 PST.
Okay. Are you seeing, I've posted the questions, but they don't seem to be, I always have problems with my chat box on Zoom.
Let me see. I'll do it. Let's see if mine goes there. Yep. Okay. Here you go. Okay, here we go with your breakouts. Mary, just come back into the main room when you go to your breakout, okay? Okay, let me unmute everyone so you will be unmuted. Okay. All right, there you go. Oops. Oh, shoot. I just messed up. I pressed it twice by accident. So I opened them and then closed it at the same time. Okay, sorry, everyone. It's going to take 30 seconds and then I can put everyone in their room.
Put us in our room.
Put in room. Okay, sorry everyone, I clicked it twice, so it created and then dissolved the rooms at the same time. So just 1 second. 1 second and you'll go to your room. Go to your room. Hi, Barbara.
What happened?
Okay, sorry. I know, I totally messed it all up. Here we go. Now you're going to your room. Okay, go to your room, ladies. There you go.
And just to say as well, to make sure that you're keeping time, so whoever's speaking, keep a timer so you know after 2 minutes to switch back.
Okay, we're back.
Yes, otherwise I'll be bringing you back. Okay, here we go.
Okay, so I press join breakout room, yeah?
Yeah, go to your breakout room. Okay, so for the recording, I'll just share while everyone's in their breakout rooms, because I was the odd man out here. I'm just going to put the timer on so I know when to call everyone back. Okay. So I would say that the biggest emotion that I have that feels challenging for me is my resentment that leads to anger. And I grew up in an Italian Sicilian household where it was okay to yell. And so when I feel my anger come up, it feels very scary for me, but I also, it's hard for me to control. And so it comes out and gets projected out. So this is the biggest thing that I'm personally working on. And I noticed that the triggers are around when I'm not really truly honoring myself and my boundaries, when I am not discerning with my time and energy, when I when I get overwhelmed, and so I'm not taking care of myself. And so whenever I feel like I'm going against myself and I don't take care of myself, I get a feeling of resentment and anger, and then that comes out. So this comes up a lot in my relationship, in my marriage, and it's something that I'm working on, is starting to notice, finding that trigger of where I am going against myself and making and not fully honoring my needs, my limits, my boundaries. And I'm finding that by really, it's like the self-sacrificing martyr that comes up. And so the more that I catch it, and the more that I say no to honor my limits and boundaries, the less that I get resentful and anger, and the happier my marriage is. Okay, so we got about a minute left until the group will come back.
I felt beamed up. Beam me up, Tanya.
All right.
Ro didn't finish, but
I finished. I'm good.
Are you okay, Ro?
I was just chatting you that too.
I loved hearing you. Love being with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, ladies. So that is the end, and we're closing now. So a quick announcement, and then we'll open up for Q&A or any insights or shares that we want to have. Is that our ritual call is in 2 weeks, and that will be a full moon gathering ceremony that you can use for October. So that is on the 20th. And anything else, Mary or Charlene, before we open up for Q&A?
Just one thing, really important little gem to take home with you. When we're talking about suppressing our emotions and releasing our emotions, it's really wonderful to say that, and as women to be able to release them. And that thing you gave us, that 5-point, was superb, Tanya, superb. But the key, as we say, is conscious awareness. sometimes we just erupt and throw shit at people and say, well, that's me expressing. I'm a female. I'm allowed to do this. I've suppressed myself all my life. So, you know, fuck you. And there's an element that the mother goddess brings us back and says, hey, there is self-responsibility here. And this is where this exercise that we've done today, when you are oversensitive, overreacting, it's a trigger that you've left self. You're in wound. So it's about taking that awareness back so that when you are responding through emotion, you're not going to be left feeling worse, that you're actually very consciously aware of where this emotion is coming from and therefore expressing it in a way that's going to help you feel better, not worse.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, last little announcement is that this month we do not have our pod calls. If you did not see the Facebook message or the email about that, we're postponing our pod calls as we are revamping and really finding out what's the structure that's best going to fit. We will do a workshop instead this month. And so that's either going to be on the 13th or the 27th. And so we'll put out a message about that so you can, so that you can join that if you so choose. And yeah, so now we'll open it up for any Q&A about the call or any shares, insights. Would love to hear from anyone. So
I have a question.
Yeah,
I have Shannon. A question, Tanya. One of the things Caroline mentioned actually when we met in the, our group was, you know, we talked about the word control, as you mentioned, you know, you don't necessarily want to control it, but I imagine there's some balance between, okay, I've released, and I think Mary kind of was talking a little bit to this, but at some point we do have to pull back in and go about our daily lives. So I don't know if anybody has anything to say about, you know, where's that difference between controlling it and controlling it? I don't know.
I can definitely say something on this. Mary, you want to say something?
You go, Tanya.
Okay. So I think there's a great, great process called swamping that Mama Gina teaches. So if anyone has read her book or heard about swamping, it's where you just create your own container to process and move through it and to express it and release it. So whether this is in your living room with Rage Against the Machine on, or, you know, just actually taking the time to move through it and to feel and to have that intention of releasing it. So then you can truly go about your day. Now, of course, there are times when you might not, and to just actually surrender and be with the fact that it's not going anywhere and you haven't moved through it. And so sometimes when we stop the resistance and we just allow ourselves to be in that mess, that we can truly then move through it. And that might be the only way through it, is to just say, you know what? All right, this is just what's happening today. I feel like shit, and I don't feel like it's shifting. And then to remember that everything in life is impermanent. It will shift, but we might not necessarily be the one in charge of saying when it will. Right? Mary, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, conscious awareness. And I think the word release sometimes throws people. I don't really use the word release that often, because for me, it's about becoming intimate with my emotions, talking with my emotions, understanding my emotions, and together we can decide how that needs to be expressed, transformed. So rather than saying, I've got to release my emotion and then get on with my life, it's about, again, reading the signs, being consciously aware, you know, this is happening for me at the moment, and it's because I'm doing this or I'm not doing that. But perhaps this is what I need to do to help me with it, you know, to help me to give myself a choice here. But this anger, this is where we bring in our feminine practices. Could be through dance, through drawing, through gardening, through, as Tanya says, smashing a pillow. But it's always about coming back to conscious awareness. I'm in the office at the moment. I'm feeling really angry. Obviously, I can't, you know, bash somebody over the head or something. I can't scream. So I'm going to go and sit in the toilet and I'm going to be intimate with myself and see what's happening and what's the best way I can deal with this right now. And if it means having a good cry in the toilet, that's fine. So it's about coming back to awareness and then making a decision from awareness, from source, not from wounding. And that's a difficult thing to learn, but it's so worthwhile.
And what would it look like if women didn't feel like they always had to have it all together, even at work? What if it was actually okay to be like, you know what, I'm not having a good day, and to tell your coworkers that and to be okay with that and to actually then have people honor that we don't always have to have it all together all the time. You know, our society makes us think that we do. That's the patriarchy speaking. Mm-hmm. What if we truly could just show up and feel okay with, yeah, you know what, I'm showing up to work and I'm not on today. Sorry. This is just the way it is. But to not then project that out and to be in that yourself so that it's not necessarily affecting. So we don't need to dump it onto others. We don't need to project it onto others, but to honor where we're at.
Hey, Tanya. I was just thinking as you were saying that sometimes just saying it and then getting it out of my mouth helps me even see, aha, that's what's going on. And then when I say that, then I don't feel the need to push it down, which is what I'm saying, all the crap that goes with that. It's the pushing it down, not so much the actual saying it. It's trying to keep it down is what drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. So when I just say, you know, like, I'm feeling really rigid right now, just I can feel it, I know it, and that's, it's like, oh, okay. And so act accordingly. Sometimes that's enough to start.
Yeah, great, thank you.
Which is what you're saying, Mary, it brings you back to conscious awareness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else, ladies? Questions or comments? Insights?
Yeah, I have something. I was wondering if at the end of this call, we could each just do like what we do when we do our ritual and just say our name and what we're taking away. Because I feel like I'm really missing the sense of the group. I can't see everybody. I don't even know all who's here. And I'm feeling a sense of invisibility, honestly, myself, that I'm showing now, you know. And I just kind of feel like I need that sense of circle as we close. If we close.
I was just saying that this morning, how we need to bring that forward where we create a little bit more interaction on our transmission calls. So cool. Let's do that. Let's close up that way. So let's go around and just...
Sorry, I interrupted you, but I just wanted to get in there and just say thank you for bringing that up and for speaking what you were feeling. That's a beautiful example.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll close out with your name and one thing that you're taking from our transmission call today. So, Tanya, permission.
Larissa, vulnerability.
Marilyn, realization.
Charlene, insight.
Canon, light and dark.
Lashonda, intimacy.
Ro, awareness.
Angie, support.
Acceptance.
Barbara, community.
Mary, getting a little bit over her jet lag.
Julie, a lot to think about.
Is that everyone? Excellent. Thank you again, Larissa. So we are going to bring that more forward in our transmission call, just making both of the calls more interactive and a little bit more participatory. So it's really worth it for you to be on live versus listening to the recording. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love that you just dropped that in right at the end there. So thank you everyone for coming on live and for listening to the recording, and please, you know, continue the conversation in our Facebook group, and then we'll see you on the ritual call, and we'll send out information about the workshop we're going to do this month. If you have anything that you're just dying to work on, that you're like, oh my God, can we please workshop on that? Please send me a message either at Tanya@sistershipcircle.com or just post in the Facebook group, okay? All right, ladies. Sisters, have a great day. Thank you.